Welcome to the Sex Talk podcast, where sex educators talk about their sex education. I'm Jamie, and my guest today is sex educator Hannah Witten. Hannah creates accessible and playful sex education content on her YouTube channel, and she's the host of the podcast Doing It, where she and her guests get nerdy about sex. What was the sex education you received in school like?
So the sex ed I received in school was pretty bare minimum. But it did exist.
That's good.
So I remember a class when I was like in year nine, so we would have been like 14 years old, which was all about different forms of contraception. So the school nurse came in and kind of like talked us through condoms and the pill and like the coil and all of that kind of stuff. And then we did a little classic, like putting condoms on test tubes in our case. No bananas.
That is... That seems more dangerous. Like, you, it would be much easier to break a test tube than a,
right?
than a banana.
Not good. No. But I remember, like, putting... We did it in groups as well. Oh. Apparently, they didn't have enough condoms to go around individually. So we were in groups, and no one in my group wanted to touch the condom. And I was like, fine. And I remember putting it on, and I remember it rolling back up this test tube and the nurse coming around, seeing how everyone's doing. And I was like, I don't know what's happening. And she was like, you put it on the wrong way around, dear. But so I'm really glad that happened, obviously, as a test run.
Good to have that happen on a test tube rather than on an actual penis.
Exactly. So, but that was really it. It was just the how to not get pregnant, how to not get STIs. That's all I really remember.
So where did you get your actual information about sex from, if it wasn't like through school?
Oh my God, YouTube. When I was like 18, 19 years old. Uh-huh. Yeah. And now I do that for others.
Yeah. I was going to say, you now do some really brilliant online sex education. How did you get from like the very bare minimum sex ed at school to like wanting to like do this as your job, like full time? Or was it like not a thing you ever wanted to do it in more, a very gradual progression towards the end?
There was an element of gradual progression, but then there was also like this... Yeah, just like, I'm just going to do this decision. So, like, the gradual progression was that I'd found these videos online of, like, sex ed videos. And I was like, oh, my God, why wasn't I taught this? And that's where the real kind of, like, nerdy passion and interest in sex as a subject matter came about. Like, it was first just like personal learning of like, oh my God, I need to know this stuff about my body and about my sexuality and like relationships and all of this kind of stuff. And then the interest kind of went broader than that, of like just interested in it even if it didn't explicitly apply to me. But when I look even further back, I can see that there was an interest in sex there. And again, it was like a weird interest in like teaching it rather than necessarily like experiencing it, because I remember like being 14 and showing some of the boys in school, like after school, like mates were like round my house, and I remember showing them like how tampons and pads worked by running them under the tap and being like, look how much it expands and absorbs. And yeah, so there was this like streak in me that was like, people need to know this stuff. And I'm going to be the one to deliver it. And when I look back on like 19-year-old me being like, I'm going to talk about sex online and I'm going to educate people about this, I'm like, who is she? The absolute audacity. But then I think that kind of comes with the like having now over a decade of experience and getting to the point where you're like, I'm more of an expert, obviously, than I was then. But I'm at that point in my expertise of realizing how much I don't know, whereas back then I didn't know how much I didn't know.
Yeah, there's a name for that, isn't there, that curve of like knowledge.
It's the Dunning-Kruger effect.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so at the beginning when you first start learning about something, you think you know everything and you have all the confidence, and then the more you start learning about it, you get more knowledge, but then your confidence just plummets.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then gradually
Can you remember anything in particular which really surprised you from like looking at those YouTube videos at like 18, 19? What were you so surprised that you hadn't learned about your own body?
Oh my God, the hymen. That I really remember that being a significant thing about learning, because the entire narrative, which wasn't taught in school, because nothing was taught in school, it was just like what people talk about. You just absorb it by osmosis, by media and your friends, which is that if you have a vulva, you've got a hymen and it breaks. Mm-hmm. And but the narrative that I'd received was, you know, like on the more liberal end. So it wasn't like you will definitely bleed the first time you have sex and that's how you know if someone is a virgin or not. It was like, hey, it can break from tampons or fingers or toys or even horseback riding. So like I had that narrative in my head. But I had no idea that it was like a stretchy membrane, that it, you know, like it doesn't actually break, and actually like hymens can come in all sorts of different configurations.
That there is a hole in it already, or the menstrual blood would not be able to get out.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not like a sheath that is like covering the entire entrance. Yeah, 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 yeah.
You were talking about like how your knowledge has grown over the 10 years you've been doing this. Were there any like myths that you sort of learned in that initial like phase of discovery that you've had to then unlearn as like, as you've done your sex ed, and like, or even like, we really oversimplify sex when we're talking about it to like teenagers. What have you had to like unlearn over the years?
Oh my God, probably so much. So maybe like that women or people with vulvas, like in terms of like ability to orgasm, I feel like there's a weird one there, because some people who have vulvas can't orgasm or don't orgasm. But I remember learning that at some point along the way, and because I was someone who couldn't orgasm, I'd kind of like, I'd weirdly like internalized that as like, oh, womp womp, sad me, I'm in that group, okay, fine. But then I later learned that I could. So I don't know, that's maybe not like your classic example of like a conservative sex negative myth, and then
no, but it,
me becoming liberated when I learn myth, it's still just kind of like there is still that constant learning, because I think even learning, oh, some women or people with vulvas like can't orgasm, that was me learning, that was like unlearning, oh, that orgasm should come really easily and you should just like come from penetrative sex every time. So there's like layers of myths.
And another one which I know you have like not unlearned but definitely had practical experience of, because I'm a big fan of your work, is the withdrawal method really doesn't work. And I'm sure like hopefully you covered like in sex ed at school that the withdrawal method doesn't work, but also you've now had like you ended up conceiving your child through sex which was withdrawal method.
Potentially. I mean, there were two times we had sex in that fertile window. One of them was withdrawal and one of them was like a while before I ovulated. So it's like touch and go. Who knows?
Yeah, it's impossible to say.
That's another one that where it's involved a lot of learning and unlearning and then learning again. So like in school learning, absolutely not, no withdrawal method, like it can still get you pregnant. And I do understand often the lack of nuance that comes with school sex ed, because you have a limited amount of time and your priority is the kid's safety or you know, like whatever it may be, reducing harm, let's say. Yeah. But does it really reduce harm if you're not giving them all of the correct information? Anyway, so I learned withdrawal bad, no. And then a bit further into my like learning about sex journey, I learned, well, actually withdrawal with proper practice combined with the fertility awareness method, also properly practiced and learned about, actually can be a really effective form of contraception. There's just so many asterisks that try to teach that to a class of 14-year-olds in an hour is, I understand why that's like a no-go. So then I learned that, and then I learned that, and then I may have also gotten pregnant from withdrawal. Luckily, we were trying to conceive at the time. The withdrawal was an accident. So... But then there's also the whole area of things that like weren't even mentioned at all. Uh-huh. So like queer stuff, probably even the term queer wasn't used at all. But like homosexuality, or you know, there are gay people, was acknowledged as like these people exist.
And then, did you go and then to school when Section 28 was still in force?
So, kind of like tail end. Okay. 'Cause when was it repealed?
I think 2003 in England.
Yeah. So I started secondary school in 2003.
Okay, that makes sense.
So yeah. So a lot of the all of the teachers would have been trained under Section 28.
Yeah.
Even if it had then been repealed. So there was this like gay people exist, and then like. Nothing else. And I do remember that there being one trans kid in my school in a different year to me, though. So I never like knew them personally. But it was one of those things that people knew about. And it's so weird how that just like spreads through the school in terms of like, oh. But the only language that I remember being used, and this was like by other young people, by other teens, like by peers,
yeah.
Was like, they, you know, they were a boy and now they're a girl. It was like that language. And so that was like my understanding of like transness as a teenager, like my only interaction with it. And that's also something that then like the internet helped me learn more about.
If you could go back to say your teenage self, what, if there one piece of like sex ed advice you wish you could give to like your 15-year-old self that she would have really benefited from?
Oh my God, I wish I could have told her that you do not have to have penetrative sex for 40 minutes waiting for your partner to orgasm.
that sounds like an important lesson to
right
to let her
like know. The sex doesn't end when your partner comes, and so you do not have to like endure penetration, being penetrated for 40 minutes.
Yeah. If you're not having fun, then definitely not.
Yeah. And there was, it was a weird one because it's like part having fun, part also like, I should be having fun, and part like, oh, this is just normal. This is not questioning it at all.
Yeah. If you'd had the knowledge that you could opt out of that, you may have opted out of that, but you didn't even have.
I may have sometimes opted out of it. I may have sometimes not, but it would have been an active choice.
Yes. We like having all of the information so we can make informed choices.
For sure.
Yeah. Where can people find you and more of your work?
Yeah, so my sex education YouTube channel is youtube.com/HannahWitten. My sex and relationships podcast is called Doing It. And then I also have a lifestyle YouTube channel where I talk about life, fashion, work and parenting, which is More Hannah. There we go.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.